Welcome to a burning fire, Jeremiah 20 and verse 9. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. And Jabez was more honorable than his brethren, and his mother called his name Jabez, saying, "Because I bear him in sorrow." And Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, "Oh, that thou wouldest bless me indeed, and enlarge my coast, and that thine hand might be with me, and that thou wouldest keep me from evil, that it might not grieve me." And God granted him that which he requested. 1 Chronicles chapter 4, verses 9 and 10. 2 Timothy informs us that all Scripture is given by the inspiration of God and is profitable. But we're sometimes prone to pass over certain portions of it as if it were not really all that much to be learned from it. We might even go to the extreme of considering some verses to be dry and meaningless and unchallenging and not really valuable. To be sure, there are some passages filled with more substance than others. Some verses deal with more critical and significant matters than others. For instance, how do you look upon the genealogies listed in the place to place? They seem to contain long, hard-to-pronounce names that do not really impress us. But when we realize each one was a real person in God's plan, a connecting link in the unfolding of the scheme of redemption, even the genealogies that might appear boring take on a profitable meaning. Just remember, each one of us will soon be nothing more than a name of someone who existed but has gone the way of all the earth. In fact, most of us will be totally forgotten in just a few years. Are we to conclude that this means our life is of no profit or significance? We certainly are not so persuaded. Just to prove to you how swiftly even the prominent people are forgotten, how many can name the President of the United States at the turn of the 19th century? How many know the names of even your great-grandparents? But their lives were important. James asked the question, "What is your life?" "It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away." James 4 and verse 14. Now here in the midst of genealogies, we read these two verses of our text concerning a man named Jabez. He is somewhat of a flower in the midst of the desert, maybe even like a single star in the darkness of the night. He stands out with a quality that is deserving of imitation. Jabez was an Israelite, according to verse 1. The names of his parents are not known, but being a son of David, that is, a descendant of David, we can conclude he was of the tribe of Judah. We cannot be absolutely sure of the historical period even in which he lived, but it would seem from the other names listed and the length of the genealogy by the time his name appears that he lived after the Jews returned from Babylonian captivity. His name means sorrowful. His mother said at the time he was named, "Because I bear him with sorrow." We can only speculate as to the nature of the sorrow she had in mind. Was it with reference to childbirth, as was told Eve, "In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children," Genesis 3:16? Or was it some sorrow that his mother may have suffered because of the death of his father, possibly, or anxiety over providing for the child? It may be that the family had fallen on hard times and was experiencing some peril, and possibly even the nation was in peril. Her life may have been unusually endangered in childbirth. Rachel called her child Benoni, son of sorrow, and she died at his birth. Jacob later called his name Benjamin. Regardless of the reasons behind his name, it can be determined that the joy so often celebrated at the birth of a child this time was tempered, possibly excluded at the birth of Jabez. But whatever sorrow marked that event, it was eventually replaced by the joy of a son who grew to a man who walked uprightly. The Scripture notes the eminency of his character. By comparison with others, the Scripture says he was more honorable than his brethren. The adversity that was connected with his birth could well have been a blessing in disguise. Adversity often produced more stalwart characters than the softness of luxury and ease. Poverty is no disgrace in and of itself. Neither is it an excuse for doing evil. Hard times often are the motivating forces that develop manliness and discipline, self-control, and the determination to rise. Some of the greatest figures of history were people who came from lowly birth and from poverty circumstances. Now, just what it was that gave Jabez this quality, we're not told. Nor do we know in what realm he was so honorable. But whatever it was, the Holy Spirit took note of it and mentioned it to his glory. We're inclined to think that he was deserving of this characterization because of the mind he had concerning things that matter, as is evidenced by further comments concerning him. He may have been a man of learning, inasmuch as the city that had his name was the city of the scribes, 1 Chronicles 2:55. He was a pious man, a praying man, a man that feared God. Whatever other areas were deserving of commendation, he certainly was commendable in these things. And he was not an idolater, as were so many of his countrymen. He was a worshiper of the true and living God. The history of Israel is stained with rebellions against God, but Jabez had respect for God. He realized what James later wrote, how God is the giver of every good and perfect gift, James 1:17. So he directed his petition toward God. And in his prayer, he asked God's favor. He asked for blessings that be substantial and lasting. There are many things that one may want that are of no real value and eternal benefit, such as wealth and power, worldly honor and fame, earthly success, such things as that can actually become curses in our lives rather than blessings. But Jabez asked for what is real and what is genuine. Bless me indeed. He wanted to live under the care of God. He wanted what God considered was best for him. His prayer was akin to the sentiment, "Thy will be done." He prayed, "And enlarge my coast." He prayed for things necessary to the physical provision as well as spiritual provision. Like Proverbs 30 and verse 8, "Give me neither poverty nor riches." He wanted enough prosperity to be able to discharge his duties. There's nothing sinful about riches per se. When rightly obtained, properly used, they can be blessings. When do no wrong to seek what we can use to the furtherance of that which is good. In fact, we do well to pray that our capacity for doing good be enlarged, not for our glory, but to the glory of God, Matthew 5 and verse 16. We should work and pray that our usefulness be multiplied. Surely this is the kind of increase that this man wanted. His prayer indicated his willingness to combine his request with his own labors. He did not pray that God would do everything for him. He did not pray that God would fight his battles, meet his problems, defeat his enemies, while he sat idly by doing as little as he could, only watching. His prayer was, "Lord, that thine hand might be with me." He was saying he would do all that he could, but he leaned on God as his strength. Friend, we need to pray for God to do what we cannot do, but use every ability God has given already as we make our prayer. We're inclined to consider Jabez a humble person. He recognized his own limitations, but also recognized his dependence on the limitless of God. He accepted what Jeremiah once wrote, "It is not in man to direct his own steps." Jeremiah coupled prayer and work. Jabez prayed that evil would not grieve him. That is, as the Lord taught his disciples and as Paul wrote, "Be not overcome with evil." Friend, let us face reality. Evil is very damaging and destructive. It can be a burden in life to the point that it crushes us. We are to pray that we will not be overcome by temptation but delivered from evil, Matthew 6:13. While facing and overcoming evil can be turned into something strengthening, we ought not to seek out confrontations with anything so deadly as sin. The prayer of Jabez was that he might be equipped to face whatever evil confronted him and that he might manage it successfully. He said, "Keep me from evil. Help me not to sin. Bring not the grief of a transgressor upon me." The noble prayer of Jabez was answered, and the scripture says God granted him that which he requested. Is it not comforting, indeed reassuring, to know that God hears the prayers of his people and he responds in the way that is best? Jabez prayed a prayer that was in harmony with God's will. His prayer had the right aim. It was prayed in the right way and to the right one, and by one who was on speaking terms with God. James 5 tells us that the prayer of a righteous man avails much. And the same God that heard and answered the prayer of this rather insignificant Old Testament man, whose entire life is presented in just two verses, is the God we worship, and who has promised to be the Father to us as much as he was to Jabez. Yes, Jabez was a man worth imitating. The study of his life, at least as much as is revealed, is a light to us, a guide to us, a word for our learning. Romans 15:4. This has been A Burning Fire. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. Until next time.